Say amen again. God made me. Amen. He kept me. He saved me. He loves me. Man, I just love the Lord on today. Amen. The psalm said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Come on, y'all. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Somebody say why. Somebody say why. Because I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me from all of my fears. Somebody say why. Magnify the Lord with me because this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. God is awesome and he's worthy to be praised. Amen. Amen. There is a word from the Lord on today. Come and go with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to the angel of the house on today. Let's give our guest psalmist, Sister Taylor Johnson, a hand. God bless her for coming out and sharing with us. Amen. Let's give all of our youth a round of applause on today. Amen. Amen. It's the summertime, and we're almost done, so a lot of our youth or traveling and vacationing, but hopefully they're, you know, everybody's safe and we want to wish them well. Amen. Daniel chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. If you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, say wait on me. Amen. Amen. And if you don't have your word, it's right there before you. Very familiar passage. And there you'll find these words. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship, whoever doesn't fall down to their face and have some type of church, y'all, if you don't start praising children, this false god, you shall be cast into the midst of the fiery burning furnace. And then 12 says, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Their names are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They're not doing what you've asked them to do, king. They do not deserve your gods or worship the gold image. I'm sorry, they do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Amen. Amen. We want to use for a thought. Just repeat after me. It's just one word. Say it as loud as you can. Say remember. Remember. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We bless you. We honor you. And we praise you. Lord, we thank you for everybody within the sound of my voice. We thank you for every bit of praise and worship that has transpired here today. Lord, we ask a special prayer over the children that are in the house today. Bless our youth who are traveling and vacationing, oh God. Lord, we ask right now that I decrease or that you may increase. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, use me like never before. Let me decrease, oh God. Lord, let us have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church on today. Give us a mind to apply the word from up on high. Allow us to be better Christians when we leave than what we were when we got here on this morning. Lord, we thank you in advance. We praise you right now. We honor you right now. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated in his presence. Amen. You may be seated in his presence. I'm going to start off talking to the parents, and I'll go back to the youth, and then I'll come back to the parents, and then ultimately, hopefully it'll sink in for everybody. But I'm going to start off with the parents and the adults. How many of us can remember when you were sinking? Okay, yeah. Somebody said, well, we don't swim. That's not what we do. I'm talking about sinking deep in sin. You know, if you grew up in church or you've been to church a few times, you remember they would say, sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But, everybody say, but. The master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. And the chorus said, love lifted me. You tried everything else, and you tried counsel from people who didn't know what they were talking about. You tried drugs and alcohol and bed hopping and club hopping. But you found out that it was love that lifted me. So I'm asking this because we have to sometime remember where we've come from so we can honor and pay homage to God for what he's done in our lives. Amen? Amen, amen. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I want you to remember when you were sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore, there was no peace. That was just storm after storm after storm. I want you to recall, and you just wasn't seeking and floating around. It said that the songwriter said you were sinking to rise no more. When Satan was trying to take you up out of here, when you didn't think you were going to live to see another day, when you thought things couldn't get any worse, I need you to go back to that point and remember what God has done for you. Remember. Malcolm X, he said that a man who stands for nothing will fall for anything. And they might try to give that to some credit to some other people, but I believe that Malcolm X said it. And I don't agree with everything or a lot of what Malcolm X said from a spiritual standpoint, but I want to give him honor for saying that a man who stands for nothing will fall for anything. Because if we can really remember where God has brought us from, it will make it easier for us to stand for Jesus when times get hard. Amen. Come on, children. You got to understand what I'm saying. Pay attention to me. There's going to be times every day when you have to stand for something all by yourself. If every time you're standing for something, you got a million people with you, 9 times out of 10, you're standing for the wrong things. Amen. But sometimes, a lot of times, when you're standing for Jesus, you're going to find out that you have to stand by yourself. I'm challenging the adults that we have to train up youth, not just any old kind of way, but youth who refuse to bow down to the gods of this world. See, that's the problem that we're running into, is that our children are submitting and surrendering to the gods of this world. What are you talking about? I'm talking about social media and videos and cell phones and TV and friends. And they are having more influence on our children than the church, than our own household, than grandparents, than people who are of the same spiritual mindset. They have no input or influence on our children. So when we use that word train, that means it's going to take some repetition. Amen. That means it's going to take some repeating. That means it's going to take some rebuke, some chastisement, some whooping, some grounding, some punishment in the house, because we're training our children to refuse to bow down to the gods of this world. And that's just not enough. We have to teach them to stand for Christ in the midst of the good times and the bad times, in the midst of the fun times and the not fun times. My kids always tell me I'm bored. Well, when it's boring, I need you to stand for Christ. Let's keep it real. Let's have a keep it real moment. We have to remember those times when we were sinking deep in sin. See, a lot of us so-called parents, a lot of us parents, we so-called have it together. Okay, we know that we don't, but we have this image and we portray to our children like we have it all together from a spiritual standpoint. Amen. The kids don't even know that we're struggling with different addictions and different issues and bad habits. They have no idea. So they're running around here because we're portraying this image that we're holy, holier than thou, and we worship and we love God and we don't do any wrong. This is what our children see. But what I'm trying to say is that we have to remember when we weren't as holy as we are right now. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to be nice. We have to remember when you know, I have to go back to when I was doing drugs, and I go back to when I was hopping clubs and doing all types of things that God didn't want me to do. And see, it's easy to forget those things because we want to forget those bad things. But if we don't remember how good God was to us and is to us, and how he brought us from there to here, it's easy for our children not to ever recognize the power of God. Who's going to tell them if we don't? We say you're fronting for the book. You're fronting for Facebook. We're fronting for our children. We need to let our children know, baby, there was times when daddy didn't work. There was times when daddy dropped the kids off at the daycare and still didn't have no job. There was times when daddy didn't take care of his kids. Baby, there was times when mama wasn't going to church. There was times when mama was hopping from club to club. When they get old enough to understand what God has done for you and what God has brought you from, you better let them know how good and faithful God has been. We have our children trying to obtain and reach for things that we haven't even obtained ourselves. We have to let our children know that it's not me, but it's Jesus that lives in me that has delivered me from what I've been going through. And some of the stuff I'm still battling with, but by God's grace, we have to keep it real, and we have to remember what God has done for us. But our children, 9 times out of 10, weren't alive to know that. If you're 34 and your kid is 20, simple arithmetic tells the kid that you had them at a young age. But that's not just enough. Explain to them how mama wasn't living right and daddy wasn't doing right and I wasn't doing those things which were pleasing to God. That's why I ended up in the situation I'm in. But mama loves you and I did the best I can. But I don't want you to fall into the same traps as me. I wish I could tell every child in here marriage is a bed of roses and it's easy. But I'd be lying if I told them that. I want to tell him it took me 2 times to figure it out. It took me a second time to allow God to bless me with who he wanted me to be. But I can run around here and act like I got it right the first time if I want to. I'm doing my children a disservice if I don't keep it real. Children, have we ever asked the question, why not me? When things are going good and you winning, and you on top of the world, nobody asks that question. Nobody asks that question, why not me? Why some? But when things are going bad, if I can get a few people to be honest with me, we would all say that when the strong winds start to come and the waters are high and they're troubled and things look like they can't get any worse, we start to ask the question, or when we get between a rock and a hard place, why not me? Why do I have to be going through things like this right now? You know, when life seems not to be going the way we want it to be, and then we look around, I don't know about y'all, but have y'all ever seen people being blessed and elevated and getting rewards and prizes, and you know they bad. You try to figure out why this kid is getting pats on the back, but you know at recess he was punching little Tommy in the back of the head. When we see folks who we know aren't living right, and they're consistently getting promotions and advancements and opportunities. See, I know that, okay, y'all remember that movie, Bebe's Kids? Y'all remember that? You know, I know some of y'all got some kids in y'all's classroom. I know I picked the kids up from camp a lot. And them kids was just like Bebe's Kids. I mean, y'all see them up there? Them kids were running around. Their mamas couldn't wait to drop them kids off so they could get to work, go home, or do whatever they wanted to do. But their Bebe's Kids was a movie back when we were kids. And boy, them kids was bad. Boy, they were bad. But there are a lot of Bebe's Kids, and they getting scholarships. They getting chosen first. They making the team. They on the A team. Some of us might be on the bench. They don't work as hard as us. But then we want to ask the question, why not me? See, but when this happens, that's what we're sitting around asking ourselves. But, everybody say but. But watch this. See, here comes grace. Even in the midst of our hurt, even in the midst of our disappointment, even when we lack faith, there is a but. Isn't it good to know that God still cares? And that he sees us and he understands our tears and he can even see the very best in you. He can see the very best in me, even when we don't feel good about ourselves. Amen. Even when we don't feel good about ourselves, we have to understand that that word but is a word of transition. Amen. Amen. That means there's something that correlates with the first half of the sentence that attaches to the second half of the sentence, but is going into a different direction. Amen. So you have to remember, but I want you to go to point number one with me. And it says, remember who or and whose you are. Remember who and whose you are. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Well, this is a very familiar passage. And I know we got some scholars in here, and I know we got some children that know about the fiery furnace, and I know that we got some people that know this passage inside and out. But I want to focus on a part of it that's not as focused on as the fiery furnace. Now, as we examine the text, we see that that they're referred to as certain Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And well, we often hear them referred to as Hebrew boys. Amen. Amen. But these boys, the text calls them these men. O king, they have not regarded thee. Well, I think it's safe to assume that time has passed. And that these that we once knew as the three Hebrew boys back in the first chapter of Daniel, referred to as the children of Israel, have matured and developed. And they've gone from 9 to 12 year old boys to men. Amen. They are no longer boys, but history and just tradition has taught us to call them the Hebrew boys. With that being said, in order for us to understand how these whom my texts have described as certain men, how they developed such strong character and fortitude, how they learned to stand for Jesus even in the most difficult times, their ability to stand during adversity when everybody else was doing wrong, when everybody else is doing what seems to be popular, they were able to stand. Well, I think it's important that we go back and look for what caused them, what could have helped shape them into the strong men that they had become from the Hebrew boys. Their names in Daniel 1, it helps us understand some things. Shadrach, his name means the command of Aku. That was the name of a false, I want to say false, it means not real, Babylonian moon god. Okay, children, there is no such thing as a moon god. Amen? There's no such thing. Don't let nobody tell you that. There's no star god. There's no sun god. There's the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. Amen? But there is no sun god or moon god. But this was the name that the Babylonians had given Shadrach. Meshach, his name is what Aku is, or who's like Aku. Abednego, his name meant the servant of Nebo. It was a Babylonian, it was a fake god, not real, and he was the god of wisdom. Amen? No such thing. But this is what they were believing in. The Babylonians worshiped false idols, okay? Now listen, Shadrach's real name, some people refer to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as their slave name, amen? That's what they reference that is. But their birth name, their Hebrew name, was Shadrach's was Hananiah. His name was Hananiah. And that means to properly bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior. Simply put, it meant that God is gracious. Okay? That's what Hananiah's birth name was given. And then Meshach, his real name was Mishael. His birth name meant who is like God, who is like the Lord. Don't y'all sing that song? Children, who's like the Lord? I can't hear you. Y'all don't sound convincing. Who's like the Lord? Nobody. But his name, Mishael, is who is like God, who is like the Lord. Abednego, his name was Azariah. And it just meant God is help. They kicked it early on with Daniel, and they changed his name to Belteshazzar. Okay? But his real name was Daniel. Amen? Which meant God is my judge. Amen? Amen. And so, the king, why do people give us nicknames? Some people give us names that don't have nothing to do with anything. Let me tell you something. Pastor Mobley, I only knew him as Daddy, and my mama would call him Art. But everybody from his household and from his daddy's household and from his mama's household, they called him Junebug. Amen. Amen. They called him Junebug, or they would call him June. It was short for Junior because he was the second Arthur. So if anybody referenced him as June, you knew they were from his side of the family. And all it meant was is that he was the second Arthur of that generation. Amen. And his daddy was Senior. And all his sisters called him Brother. It made sense because he was the only boy amongst the four sisters. Amen. Amen. So I sat there and I started to look. And why did the king change their names? Well, he changed it because he wanted to erase their connection to God and where they had come from. He wanted them to forget their very origin of what their names meant and how they had been trained to love God as Hebrews. The world is trying to reprogram us and take us out of where we are as Christians and allow us to follow the ways of the world. So we have to understand that we can't, Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can't fall into the traps of this world. So, for example, if I come down and I say, hey, big head, raise your hand, big head. Nobody's answering to that, are they? Because that's not your name. Because if I call you big head, that means I'm saying what? You got a big old head. Now who's going for that? But if I say, Demira, raise your hand. Well, that's her name. That's the name that her mom and daddy gave her. So she answers to that name. See, so it's not so much what people call you, but it's what you answer to. John 17, 14 through 15 says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. We're in the world, but we're not of it. So be okay with standing by yourself. Be okay with saying, hey, I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to do what I need to be doing. I'm going to do what the teachers told me to do because I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to let God down. I don't want to let my parents down because I'm not here to please you. I'm here to serve and please God and do what I am supposed to be doing. Whose are you? Ephesians 1:5 says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We are sons and daughters of God the Father in heaven, the only true and living God. If they come to y'all talking about the moon God and the sun God, run. Run. It's funny and we laugh and that's cool, but somebody's believing in the moon God and Aku and the God of the heaven, of the sun and the moon. There are people who believe in that. That is a false God. But don't be tricked because we're also worshiping things that we don't think are incorrect. We're worshiping people on TV. We worship in music stars. We worship in athletes. We worship in phones. We worship in YouTube. We worship in Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter. We're doing all these things that are taking us further away from God. So the decree came down. The rule from the king was that whenever they heard the music, they were to bow down and worship the false God that had been created. These three made up their minds that they didn't care what everybody else was doing. They weren't going for it. So check it out. When the music came on, they wasn't about to juju on the beat. Don't laugh at me. I'm a little hip. They wasn't about to do the running man. They said, I ain't twerking. I'm not dropping and bouncing nothing because this is not my God. They wasn't talking about teach me how to Dougie, Doogie, or none of that. They had made up in their mind that they were not going to follow the ways of the world. We have to be okay with that. Because as soon as some of us hear music, we don't even care what the music's singing about. We get to jamming and moving. Back in our day, we used to do the Reebok and the Cabbage Patch and all that. We didn't do all the Doogies and we used to do the little, we had all types of dances. The WAP, everything. You know, and so some of the stuff was inappropriate, but when the music kicked on, we just started doing it. So you have to be careful of what you're listening to and what you're dancing to, because what you're doing is you're, at that moment, you're honoring something that may be dishonoring God. But these three men had made up their mind that they were not going to do what everybody else were doing. They made up their mind that they were going to walk by faith and not by sight. Well, why? His thoughts were formed, their actions were regulated, and his life was molded by the Holy Scriptures. We know that. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It tells us that in Romans 10:17. Maybe they were remembering the stories from their grandma and from their parents. In Deuteronomy 6:7-9, it says that you shall teach diligently to your children and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. I believe that their homes had scripture in them. I believe that they were trained up to know scriptures and have the scripture hidden in their heart. They were trained up to love and respect God and honor God even when it wasn't popular. People are trying to pull you away from worshiping God because it doesn't seem that cool. Your friends are sleeping in. Your adult, their parents are sleeping in. Some of us Christians are sleeping in, not coming to worship. And it seems that it's a little bit of an inconvenience to serve and worship God. But who is it that kept you when you were going through the storm? What if God's faithfulness was contingent on your faithfulness? If that was the case, we'd all be in all types of trouble. They must have remembered in Deuteronomy 5, 6 through 9, when the Lord said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Listen to what he said. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or what is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. God had already told them back in Deuteronomy that you are not to worship gods that other than me. You are not to bow down and worship these false gods and these man-made images. We're not supposed to be worshiping people and man and Facebook and social media. We're not supposed to be giving that stuff more time than we give God. Isn't it good to know that we serve a God that no one or nothing can compare to? For we know, for who is God and who's better than God? Nobody. Oh yeah, you can compare a Ferrari to a Lamborghini. You can do that. You can compare LeBron James to Kobe. They do it all day, every day. You can compare Obama, President Obama, to Martin Luther King, you know, but it is great that nothing or nobody can compare to God. For who is better than the Lord? Somebody say nobody. He's my creator. He's my deliverer. He's my father, my keeper. He's my king. He's my light. He's my Lord. He's my redeemer. He's my refuge. He's my rock. And he's my shepherd. He's my shield. And yes, he is my savior. And if that isn't enough, who is what God is? Well, he is my advocate, my counselor. He is omniscient, omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He is the Ancient of Days. He is a consuming fire. He is the crown of glory. He is the everlasting God, the everlasting King. He is the Father of compassion, the Father of glory, and the Father of lights. He's the Father of mercies. And yes, without a shadow of a doubt, he is the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, I ask, who is like the Lord? Nobody. See, some people want to be like, listen to this, y'all. Some people want to be like the Babylonians and change your name. Some people want to call you bad, but I want you to tell them, but God calls me born again. Some people call you dumb, but I want you to say, God calls me delivered. Some people might call you fat, but tell them, God calls me faithful. God says that I'm faithful and that your sins are forgiven. Some people gonna want you and make you hopeless, but I want you to tell them that I can do all things through Christ with strength in me. Somebody gonna try to call you ugly, but Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. They might call you ugly again. I want you to tell them that Psalms 118:23 says, this was the Lord's doing, and I'm marvelous in his eyes. People might try to change your name and call you stupid, but say, Jesus said he's already paid the price. I'm not stupid, I'm saved. So, church, I'm going to ask you one more time, who is what God is? Who is like the Lord? Can we say it all together?
Nobody.
So regardless of what name anybody calls you, as long as you know, like Mishael, who you really belong to, you will then understand that our sovereign God has already given you the power to stand in the midst of adversity. He's already given you the power to do what's right, even when everybody else is doing what's wrong. My next point, remember Choose your company wisely. Listen, listen. Teenagers, preteens, kids, adults, seniors, middle-aged people, married people, unmarried people. I don't care what situation you in or where you are in life. Choose your company wisely. If it's okay for me to hang with trash, then my kids are going to think it's okay for me to hang with trash. Let me define trash. Okay, that's a little harsh, wasn't it? Trash is anybody that's trying to destroy what God has for me. Anybody who's trying to tear my marriage apart, trash. Anybody who's trying to get my children off the beaten path, trash. Anybody that's trying to hinder my wealth, my health, anything like that, trash. Remember, choose your company wisely. These are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. In other words, these guys refuse to do what you say. These guys means there was three of them. They rolling together, amen? So now I'm convinced that something happened along the way that drew these three brothers together. Okay, they together, they thick as thieves, they tight, and they rolling with each other. Their togetherness and their friendship and their bond, it upset the Chaldeans so much that I bet the conversation went a little something. It went a little something like this. It said, you know, King, we need to talk to you. There's a few of them there, Jews you bought over here from the war. You know, you picked them out, and it was three of them. And yet you promoted them over me. You gave them my position. You gave them the position I wanted. I wanted to be prime minister. I wanted to be on the cabinet. But you gave it to these Hebrews, and you put them in charge, and you sent them to Nebuchadnezzar University. You give them fine clothes and homes, and they're running your affairs, and they're doing all this. But check this out, King. We got a little situation. It's getting ready to get out of control. These three people who you promoted over me, over us, they won't fall down and worship the idol that you made. If we keep this up, we're going to be serving their God. They antagonizing Nebuchadnezzar, you know, kind of hyping them up, gassing them up. You know, you've seen it on Facebook when they want each other to fight. They kind of get the other one going and they set it up. They drop gasoline. They drop a match on the puddle of gasoline and they back up. Well, that's what they were trying to get them to do. They were trying to get the king upset. So after you've done all this, O king, they now have the audacity. They now have the mindset to stand against you. I want you to notice that these same men, these same three men, they helped us understand way back in Daniel chapter 1 that they were led together away in captivity. They were smart. They were pleased. They looked good. They were some handsome young men. And so they got taken when they were boys into captivity. Now, get this. These same three men, they still kicking it years later. It wasn't no extra. They didn't bring nobody onto the scene. They kept a good, tight crew. Amen. They got a good, tight crew who they kept with, who they kicked it with, and all that. So, well, this begs the question, why is that? Y'all heard of the saying, birds of a feather flock together. Well, I believe that. I believe that. Children, I'm going to tell you right now, if one person over there is talking, and I don't know who's talking, I'm going to assume that everybody over there is talking. Even if you were not talking, you have to watch out with the company that you're keeping. Now, but what happened? And I got to be careful here because the Bible don't touch on this. But we know that the Babylonians went in and they took over and they seized and attacked. And one could imagine that these three fellas seen a lot of bloodshed. They seen a lot of war. They seen a lot of family and friends probably get murdered and executed. And if they didn't, they never got to see them again because they were taken into captivity. They had seen a lot at an early age. They had been through more than any of us in here had ever been through. And I know Pastor Trey don't know what I've been through, but they watched so much bloodshed right in front of them. And then they were taken as prisoners. You know, and they were taken away from their native land. They had seen a lot. But Nebuchadnezzar, they besieged Jerusalem, and they were with them for years. And they tried to train them and bring them up as Babylonians. But still, what was deep in them, It was rooted deep down in these Hebrew boys, the love of God and respecting his rules and his statutes. And they refused, even though it was planted in them back when they were 9 or 10 years old, they refused to bow down to false idols. Even when they weren't at home with mama and daddy. Come on now. Come on. Let me talk to y'all. When I was a kid, I was the best little Christian PK you can ever imagine. I was the best until I got on that bus stop. When I got on that bus stop, boy, all right, that's enough. But, and then as soon as I got back to the bus stop and I walked down 53rd and Terrace, I could switch it on and off like a light switch. That's why when y'all think y'all slick, it ain't nothing that your parents haven't seen before. We done been there, done that, got the t-shirts, the matching jacket, hat, and everything. But they stuck together. They stuck together. I'm convinced that something happened along the way that had these three men to make up their mind that come what may, I've already lost my family. I've already lost my friends. I'm already out of my familiar native territory. I'm here now, and it can't get any worse. And even if it does, the God I serve is able to keep me. He's saying to himself, I know mom and daddy might be dead and I never seen them again, but it could have been me dead and gone. It could have been me dead in the grave. It could have been me with no more life in my body, but God saw fit to keep me. Parents, this is when you testify, because you've been around here long enough to know that it just took one more minute in the wrong place and you'd be dead and gone right now. It took one more Saturday to go to a place you shouldn't have been in the first place, and you wouldn't be here today. Lest God kept you. See, if we can testify to the goodness of God, then we can train up our children to see how good God has been and how faithful he is. They ain't been through nothing. They don't know nothing. But if we can testify to the goodness of God, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if you've been redeemed by God, you better make sure your children know who did all the redeeming. You see, these men had something in common. They loved God. They wanted to respect and reverence God. So they made up their mind that they wasn't going to bring these Babylonians who worship false gods into their circle, because they weren't going for that. We have to be okay. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, and I'm getting ready to close. I think this is a good place to throw in a disclaimer that not all birds are good birds. Amen? Amen? Not all birds are good birds. I don't want to hang with the vultures because they eat dead stuff. They eat roadkill. Amen. I don't want to fly with the buzzards because they fly low. I want to ride with some eagles. Amen. I want somebody that's going to help me go high in Jesus. I want to go with somebody who's going to soar above the storm and help me to fly over and through my situation and help bring me up instead of bringing me down. 1 Corinthians 15:33 clearly states, listen to this, children, adults, married folk, single folk, old folk, young folk. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good habits. Bad company, some versions might say, corrupt good morals. We've said it before. If you hang in and fraternizing with people who don't believe, people who cheating on their spouses, people who cheating on their tests, people who cheating on their taxes, it won't be long for you to find yourself ready to do the same thing. I'm glad that my wife is a Christian woman. I'm glad that my dad's a Christian man and my brothers are Christian men and my kids love God and all y'all love God. Yesterday, we was at Walmart on the late night. I'm telling you, Satan get busy in a moment. And we went through the self-checkout. And listen, chill, we checked everything out. We paid for everything. And, you know, I'm not used to having a baby seat in the cart no more. I'm not used to that. Well, we had the baby in the cart. And lo and behold, I had some little K-cups, some little stuff for my coffee in the morning. I had my little Keurig cups. And they were kind of wedged, hiding in between the cart and Ina's seat. Now, we got our little receipt, and we getting ready to walk on out of there. And Ina said, hey, babe, look, we didn't pay for that. There was a split second in my head. Can I be transparent? Let me help somebody right now. Let me help somebody. This is a keep it real moment. It's not even in my notes. It was $4.98, y'all. $4.98. And it's there. The man came up and did my price matches. I'm a little bit of a price matcher. I'm a bargain shopper. Everything added up. You know, I wasn't cheating. Everything. I had my little app. He said, good to go. Gave us the receipt. We heading on out. And I said, look, we didn't pay for that. And for a quick second, I took one step. Like, well, let's go. True story. I'm being real. I'm try to lead by example and be transparent. But something said that in the grand scheme of things, do I want a $4.98 blessing? No, sir. In the grand scheme of things, do I want this to be all God got for me? And that's not even God giving it to me. That's me letting my flesh bless me. Do I want that to be all God got for me or all I've done for myself until I got to go back home and then I got to repent and come in here and preach to y'all this morning after I'm a thief? For $4.98, me and Ina looked at each other and said, it's not even remotely worth it. It's not even remote what God has in store for those who love him for me to blow it on $4.98. Some of us are robbing God and accepting way less, being tricked by the enemy, taking way less when God got more than we can even think or imagine. Okay, back to regular scheduled programming. Okay, so look. Bad company corrupts good morals. When I say Shadrach, you automatically think about Meshach and Abednego. Amen? Amen? Amen. When I say Steph Curry, you think about Thompson. And you think about the other boy. You think about everybody who won the championship, amen? Amen. When you think about the Chiefs, you associate Big Red and Andy Reid. When you think about Doc McStuffin, you start thinking about whoever she rolled with. I don't know who she rolled with. But you start to think about who they hang with. You start to think about who they kick it with. When I go back, when people think about me in high school, they start thinking about everybody who I used to hang with, and now I don't hardly talk to none of them. But when we go to our class reunion in September, they're going to expect to see me hanging with the same crew of people that I hung with 20-some years ago. What are you saying, preacher? Who you chill with, who you hang with, who you rock with, who you creep with, who you kick it with, roll with, dip with, who you do anything with, it matters. It is important who you hanging with. So my question is, who you with? Who you with? Are you rolling with Jesus 24/7? Not just when you were here, not just with your mom and daddy, but if you choose to hang with the wrong crowd, there's no sense in wondering why every time something go wrong, people think you got something to do with it. Don't even ask why people assume you were the man. Well, you know, well, why you think I did it? Because you over there with them. And birds of a feather flock together. You trying to make it to church and somebody next to you, I'm tired, I don't feel like I'm making it today. And as soon as you ready to go, but as soon as they start talking about they ain't gonna make it, you back in the bed sleep too. I'm helping somebody in here. All it takes is one person to rub a little bad company off on you and you would have fallen into the trap. And everybody's sleeping in a stay-at-home Baptist because one person, a little tired. And then that comes off onto the children, and then they don't get into the habit and repetition of being faithful servants to God. And then the chain reaction is when they're 30 and 40, Lord, where did I go wrong? What happened? I'm on my knees all the time praying. Had you been in church with them and worshiping God with them when they were this age, then you wouldn't have to spend so much time on your knees when they get to be your age. Come on, that's okay. You'll get it later. I know it's tight, but it's right. I'm telling you what I know. I'm going to pray now and serve God now so I can celebrate and praise him later too. We got to be faithful. And let me tell you, how am I going to tell them? I'm going to give them a letter. I'm going to send them a text message. I'm going to call them. I'm going to inbox them. Some people we just need to cut off. Amen. Sometimes it's just time for me to love you from a distance. You know, I ain't going to be late to class at the locker no more. I'm going to wave and keep on going. I'm not going to sit here and talk trash on my smoke, on the smoke dock or on the coffee break. If you're doing things that aren't pleasing to God, then I've got to cut you off.
and I got to pray from you for a distance. Light cannot fellowship with the dark. But I can witness to you. I can pray for you. I can ask God to turn you away into the body of Christ. But I can't hang with you if you causing me to struggle. Well, they got three strikes. How many strikes does it take for somebody to make you keep stumbling and not serving God like we should? If they causing you to get in trouble, maybe you need to look at who you're kicking it with. Okay? If they causing you to get whoopings and put on punishment because you can't say no to them, cut it. You got to cut it. Ain't that the name of the song? You got to cut it. My last point, and we're going to get ready to go home. Remember that God is able. Remember that God is able. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered and said to the king, they standing, y'all, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if God decides not to deliver us, if God decides to let us be consumed by the fire, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image that you have set before us. Can we stand when it gets hot? Can we remember God's goodness and how he kept us through so many tough times when it comes time to stand up for him? Can we remember when God healed our body and kept us from dying when it's time to stand up before the world and say, I'm not going to serve the gods of this world, but I'm going to serve the Most High, true and living God? And can I remember when God delivered me from smoking so I can apply that strength and knowledge to know that God is going to keep me and that God neither sleeps nor slumbers? God is able. And I'm reminded that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I'm reminded that he was betrayed by Judas with a kiss on his cheek. I can remember reading that Peter got mad and sliced off the man's ear. I remember that Jesus put his ear back on the side of his head. And he told Peter that if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. See, Jesus was the mentor of Peter, and he was trying to tell Peter that since you're in my company, I'm going to tell you exactly how you need to handle things so God can bless you. We're not going to let anger cause us to sin, for this is the will of God, not my will, but thy will be done. You got to watch who you're getting counsel from. If your daddy ain't no good, call your uncle. If you ain't got no uncle, call your coach. If you ain't got no good coach, call your pastor. And if you can't find nobody, drop down to your knees and say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, because God will always answer the cry of his children. I can remember that they took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. I can remember that they whooped him all night long. I can remember reading that they make him carry the cross up Golgotha's hill. I can remember that they put a crown of thorns on his head. I can remember that they drove nails through his hands and nails through his feet. I can remember reading that the blood came streaming down. I can remember reading that they hung him between two thieves. I can remember reading that he never said a mumbling word. I remember how good God's been to me, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall perish shall not perish but have everlasting life. I can remember the power of God. I can remember that he hung his head in the locks of his shoulder. I can remember that he gave up the ghost between the sixth and the ninth hour. I can remember reading that they put him in old man Joseph's borrowed tomb. I can remember reading that he laid there all night Friday night, and that he laid there all night Saturday night, but early Sunday morning, early this Sunday morning, he got up with all power and heaven and earth in his hand. He got up. He got up. Oh, he had all power and heaven and earth in his hand. So when I remember what I read and I think about what I'm going through, I can remember that God can do anything but fail. I can remember that God has all the power. I can remember that it's not my battle, but it's God's. I can remember that I can stand on him. I can remember that he has all the power. I can remember that he's all-knowing. I can remember that he's all-caring. I can remember that his mercies are new every day. When the enemy comes in like a flood, I can remember that the word said that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against them. I can remember that the word said that when my enemies come up to eat up my flesh, they gonna stumble and fall. I remember that the word says that thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So when you're laughing at me and calling me fat, when you're laughing at me and calling me dumb, when you're laughing at me and calling me stupid, I can remember that I am the marvelous work of God. I am a child of the Most High. I am a child of the King. I'm going to live and not die. So when Satan comes up on you and you feel like giving up, remember 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Steadfast, immovable. You can't move me, devil. Get thee behind me. In the name of Jesus, demons got to flee. Remember that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly more than we can ask or think. God bless you. God bless you. Amen.